Dr. Rao spoke to us about the IT revolution that cast a net, you know, of communication facilities all over the planet, as if a new nervous system was given to humanity, where each individual can respond, communicate with any other point in the world. So this must have some unexpected consequences. So we are going to go a little farther in that direction with Manoj, who will speak about also about the IT revolution with the square feet of light. Thank you, Manoj.
Thank you. I would like to take you through an imaginary journey. Let's go, say, around 5,000 years ago into the Vedic civilization. Imagine an alien spaceship landing up amidst the Vedic people. Just visualize it. They are likely to find a large number of people sitting in front of a fire lit within a square base. And offering some sort of materials to this fire, chanting some mantras. If they investigate what these people are doing, they are likely to discover that these people are actually controlling or interacting with nature and nature's forces and having a great mastery over weather, over their enemies, over the expansion of their kingdoms, health of their kings, and all kinds of daily practical things were done through that simple process of relating to this fire lit in a square base. That is the square foot of light 5,000 years ago. Now, let's fast forward to today's world. The same alien spaceship lands up here or anywhere in the world. They are likely to find people everywhere sitting in front of a square foot of light. Saying things to it through some strange device, offering something to it. And they are interacting with the whole world through that, whether knowing their weather or Obama killing Bin Laden or sending rockets. All these people are sitting in front of this square foot of light. Some very strange technological morphing has happened. The difference between the two worlds is that for the ancients, the light, the fire that was lit was a god. They adored Agni, the fire. They had an intimate relationship with that fire. It was the divine incarnation. But for the modern man, this new fire in the square frame is nothing divine. It is a technological device. Light is something that you manipulate. Light is the base of all our technologies today, especially communication technologies. Light is sold in the market just like any other commodity. The 2G spectrum scandal in India is about licensing a particular spectrum of light to the communication companies. That shows the difference in attitude between these two periods of history, how we approach light, our understanding of light, our relationship with light. In fact, we do not consider the universe to be conscious. That is the very foundation of science. The universe is something very mechanical, predictable. Whether it is Newtonian mechanics or quantum mechanics, it is mechanical and predictable. Now, there is an emergence of a field called artificial intelligence. But there is a great deal of unease about recognizing the fact that the machines can be intelligent. A deep-rooted fear that manifests as a collective story like the film The Matrix, where the machines have taken over the world and humanity has been enslaved and used like fodder in their power plants to generate electricity. We have a love and hate relationship with technology, with forces of nature, and computers in particular. It is taking over the whole world. More and more people are drawn into this light and getting almost addicted. Now, we cannot afford to stop our mail server for 24 hours. There is such a havoc that happens in the community, that is the withdrawal symptoms, the panic that the mail server is not working. At the same time, a deep anguish, what this technology is doing. Personally, I had a difficult relationship with computers. In fact, I tried to run away from computers. When I was an engineering student, in 86 we had a computer lab where we go, just like we go to Matri Mandir, you wear socks and enter. It was an air-conditioned, dust-proof place. Computers were like the supreme deity in an engineering college at that time. And with great reverence, you go there. And we had to learn programming language called Fortran, which I found quite boring. And the very first day when our professor took us to the lab, and started showing these magical devices. Suddenly, on the screen, a message popped up. Hello, welcome. And that was coming from somebody else who was sitting across the network who knew how to use this system very well. But the professor who was showing this did not know what to do. Suddenly this popped up and welcomed and greeted everybody. And there was a panic. And I got even more scared. These machines are really not meant for me. I was very comfortable with the lathe, milling machines, numerically controlled machines, and drilling, and all kinds of casting, and all that was fine. It's a really material things. But this intelligent machine was a bit too much. So I tried to escape. So I tried to skip all that classes. Somehow managed to pass. Further, when I went for design studies, the Mac was already in picture. So in our design school, there was first lineup of Macintosh computers where you could draw and paint and do all kinds of things. But since it was not compulsory, I decided no. I would rather prefer to render my drawings with my own hand and pen and ink than these dangerous machines. So I escaped that too. And when there were youngsters who were very enthusiastic about technology and computers, we used to look down upon them, these crazy people. You know, the real thing is the material world where you should be engaging, not these stupid machines. You know, we have to somehow cover our own sense of fear by playing superior. So we were looking down upon them. And I finished my studies and further started working, but then decided I quit all this and go and investigate . He said, these are my friends here. You can use any of the systems. And I was quite embarrassed to tell the fact that I was actually running away from all this. I came to learn about the real Vedic rituals and the science behind Yajna. And here was Maitreyi and Katyayani waiting. But I didn't tell him that I was very scared. I secretly went and bought books and quickly educated myself. And that's how I started confronting computers. And I understood. Meanwhile, I was reading Sri Aurobindo and I understood that there is no escape. Whatever I try to run away from, they will come back. I have to face. So I started learning and started using computers. And that experience helped me when I came to Oroville in 1995 to work with various projects, and eventually I somehow ended up became an IT man here. And I still feel quite embarrassed about it because I really do not know. It is just that I just couldn't avoid, I couldn't run away from it. So currently I develop our intranet portal software and sit in front of this square foot of light that is where the yajna is to be performed. And that's how when Astarji asked me, can you say something? I gave this title, The Square Foot of Light. And I had to find a way to make sense out of all this if you are here for yoga and transformation and what this is going to do to you. Starting with how do you sit? What is the right asana? If you don't sit properly, you get spondylitis. It is as simple as that. So asana became a very basic thing. And how do you breathe when you're looking at it? Because you are performing an action, and that has a consequence that is global. Because this particular square foot of light is potentially connected with the entire world. And even your private emails can any day pop up and become a global scandal or whatever. You can see what is happening now when conflicts arise, everything is dug out and published. And one thing I noticed was the transition that was happening in the world from the traditional media to the new media. That is, in the traditional media, for example, in the television, you go and watch television, you go and read newspaper. But in the new media, you hang out with your friends. It is a space, a new space where there is a global conversation that is taking place. You're engaging with the world. You are not going there as a passive media consumer. This was the model of the industrial society. The passive media consumer who is programmable. Maybe I should give a brief overview of this three layers of society that is emerging, corresponding to the physicality, the vitality, and the mentality of human instrumental nature. The earliest strata was the physicality, the land-bound society, the agrarian society, where the capital is the land. The primary capital is the land. You work with the land. You toil in the soil. And all the produce from the soil, that is the base of economy, the physicality of the society. On the top of it came the industrial society, where the machinery became the capital, money and machinery, with which you take the land-based resource as a starting point and create whole new range of products, what is needed and what may not be needed, manufacture industriously and distribute globally. And that had been the dominant paradigm till now. And we are predominantly still the industrial society, where financial hub is the industrial production and consumption. Now there is a new strata that is emerging. Now various terms are coined around it. One of them, popular one, is called the knowledge society, where knowledge is the primary capital, not the machinery, not the land. And the financial center of gravity is shifting to this new material or non-material, what it is, knowledge, as the primary capital of the economic action in the world. If we take Google and Facebook, they are only dealing with information, nothing else. They dominate the world. Every government in the world is today afraid of these companies. And Facebook in particular started only in 2006, somewhere around that. In such a short time, it is now dominating the world and affecting affecting the world politics, the way humanity is interacting and dealing with each other, how it is working together. The last 2 years, large number of governments started falling across the world. And there is a panic among the governments, how to control Facebook, how to control Google. And Facebook predominantly is below 30 generation, where there is a new set of values emerging. Unlike the industrial society and its value system, or the agrarian society and its value system, in the knowledge society, sharing is the base, not trading. And tendency of knowledge is to leak, to spread. Trying to control is actually a habit coming from the old civilizations. And the new generation is so comfortable with sharing. And we have open source culture and open standards that are emerging that belongs to no one in particular. The wealth that is created belongs to humanity as a whole. Particularly all the wealth that is created through open source culture. That sounds very much like the ideals of Orwell. If you look at Linux, Apache, PHP, or all this technological base that is running today's internet, these are not private properties. They belong to humanity as a whole, and they are licensed as such, and they are protected by licensing systems called Creative Commons, GNU, GPL. All these are ways to protect ability to share. And the new generation is emerging with a value system that says the more you share, the more your work is copied, higher your probability of sustaining yourself, sustaining the world, the wealthier and richer world you inherit. So never be afraid of sharing. And the intellectual property rights, the copyrights and trademarks, these have become the signatures of a world that is dying. Besides, the way people work together to create wealth is radically changing. 12 years ago, there was no Wikipedia. Wikipedia came in 2001. 10,000 or 100,000 volunteers, I believe, created 20 million pages of harvesting the knowledge in such a short time without anyone getting paid for it. This is a radical shift in human consciousness, a material manifestation of shift in consciousness. Ability to work together, even anonymously, and creating wealth. And this new networked possibility is giving birth to what I would like to call, or reawakening, the Purusha, the Vedic image of the Sahasraksha Sahasrapad. The thousand-eyed, thousand-footed Purusha is awakening, who is taking charge of things. And tremendous creativity is liberated by putting aside the systems of copyright and intellectual property. A new way of organized work is emerging. Even business corporations are shifting. Companies like IBM are releasing their intellectual property into open source community, as there is no other way to survive. It is not that communities creating this wealth are rich. There are no billionaires among open source community leaders. They still belong to the industrial civilization and its mindset. The man who invented World Wide Web, Tim Berners-Lee, is not a millionaire. He could have easily become a millionaire. He didn't do that. He chose to release the technology as an open source, as a free gift to the humanity. And that is a shift in value. And people in the open source culture are respected for their ability to contribute, to give, not to take. This is a radical shift. Besides, all these people are having a very, very transparent life. They are not acting like a boss. You can look at their blogs and you can follow their even personal lives. What's happening? Their thoughts about various things that are happening. There is a conversation that is taking place between these creative communities and their leaders. The relationship between the members of the community and the elders of the community is not hierarchical. It is of a mutuality and inspired ideal of creating a better world. And this silent revolution has its base as creativity. You don't fight the falsehood. You create better alternatives. The falsehood naturally will fall apart. And evolution is the nature of everything. There is no finished product. Everything is a work in progress. People used to put the term beta in early years. Now, even that has been eliminated. It is understood that all the products that we are using are work in progress. They will constantly evolve. And that evolutionary process is built on a deep feedback loop circuit, which is essentially the mechanics of rapid evolution. The science of cybernetics identifies this feedback loop as the fundamental mechanism. Or the chaos theory says, if you take the output from a system and feed it back to the system as a new input, it will coalesce around attractors that are inherent within the system, the inherent dynamics that holds it on the edge of chaos. And when companies are generating, or the groups coming together are creating new products, these are put out, and how it is being used by the people are very closely studied and modified so that the experience of using is enriched, made better. We know that how difficult it is to change habits. All of us are struggling to change habits, and it is very, very hard. But if we look at the last 12 years, Wikipedia came in, YouTube came in, Skype came in, iPhone came in. Now we are all using all this without any sense of major difficulty. Adoption had been made so simple, so easy. The designers are sitting behind, analyzing in detail how to make an experience enjoyable. That is where the user, the individual purusha, is put at the right center of a design process. It is user-centered design. You're designing for the being who is going to have a particular experience. Now, people are no more talking about designing a product. You are designing experience. A series of processes are involved. And how do you provide better and better experience? And in which Apple took the lead in introducing the enormous importance of aesthetic delight. Steve Jobs was very particular about beauty, bringing beauty into the interface, the experience, the way you interact with machines, how to make it simple, easy, and enjoyable. And aesthetics, the experience of beauty and delight, is a nature of the soul. Soul responds to beauty. So beauty was put at the center without knowing anything about the soul. Beauty has a great value in adaption of technology or change or a new habit. Not only that, compared to the industrial civilization where the masses were looked upon as entity to be programmed, mass programmed to consume your products, the new civilization, the new culture is looking at people as an enormous resource with intelligence, creativity, and great and interest in what is happening. So, Wikipedia, for example, harnessed the knowledge that is already there in people. People pulled in their knowledge to create that. Similarly, large number of products are created by the collective participation. Now, emerging operating systems like Android, which is basing on open standards, they are creating just conditions where large number of people can create plug-and-play possibilities, and 400,000 applications have been created in just 5 years by people. It's a completely different way of working, a new culture. And the masses are no more seen as passive recipient of information, but an intelligent participant in the collective evolution who is engaged deeply in the process of evolution. And leaders and these participants, the consumer and producer, are coming together as a single whole. There is no separation. There is no one out there to say, you are spoiling the world. We have a tendency to say these companies, these multinational corporations are messing up the world and I am holy. But without a buyer, there is no company that can do it. And this transformation of the consumer as a participant, a creative collaborator, is emerging, and a collective ownership is emerging, and a spontaneous coordinated action is happening. And even political action is emerging. Services like Awaaz or Greenpeace are harnessing people's opinions in thousands and millions and pumping it towards the governments, towards specific decisions they are making, and influencing the governmental decisions and policy decisions. When BT Brinjal was about to be released in India, thousands of people were sending their petitions to the government servants to take note of, and governments are budging. Consciousness force. It is force when an individual is paying attention to a thing, there is a force that is sent in that direction. And this force is being harnessed and targeted to influence government policies, decisions, and it is happening across the world. And there is a liberation of this free being who is aspiring for greater freedom, greater creativity, and greater enjoyment that is emerging. And there is a natural goodwill in the people. If you don't program them to consume products that are not really needed. The manufactured habits, these are not needed when people are empowered. And this is not democracy. This is the collective intelligence, collective awakening that is taking place. The Sahasraksha, Sahasrapa, the thousand-eyed, thousand-footed Purusha, the collective being who is awakening and taking charge of the destiny of the people. If you have questions.
Very beautiful input.
Agent computer system, is it not harmful for creativity and intuition? Good poets, good painters be lacking today.
It is only a tool. For example, painting. Have you seen the film called The Avatar? Have you seen it? None of those things that you saw, those beautiful landscapes and the beautiful nature, that was not painted on canvas. It was all numerically generated. It's a creative tool. For the new artists, this is a tool for an incredible creative possibility.
Are we hopeful for that?
Sorry?
Are we hopeful for that? Good poets, good painters, good sculptures.
Those who are opening to it, to the possibilities. For example, there are poets coming together and creating poets' communities. Where if you want a peer review, which is the norm of this new culture, whatever you create, you want it to be reviewed by the like-minded people. And where do you get them? If you sit in your city, the number of people you get are limited. But if you get into the internet, where you can get the world's best and share and say, can you give me a feedback? Feedback is the loop that wakes you up from your own fixations. And to be open to feedback and to create feedback, you need people who knows the subject and you can access them wherever you are.
One question. How do you link it with globalization?
It's already one world. It's one global reality. There is no boundaries within internet. It's a global reality. I do not really get the question in terms of what you, how do you
link? You have answered very correctly that this too is globalization, and the perspective given by Dr. Rao too is globalization. But you know, probably this is a, you know, something which is where everyone is a winner and winner. In that globalization, at a very material level, there were losers and gainers, the poor and the rich. Yeah. Here, I think this is another step of globalization where everything is being equalized.
Yeah, the difference is the one world that he presented is the industrial civilization still continuing its old modality. That is the dominant paradigm of even today's world. What I have described is the new emerging thin layer, which is where, to me, the future is. Whereas this layer that is currently creating this model of billionaires overnight and exploitation of the world, that is bound to collapse, and it is already collapsing. The financial system has to collapse. And there are already people working on alternative currency systems, and end of the day, money is information.
You have very beautifully answered. In fact, we were discussing this thing, what next to this sort of globalization, what superior thing will come to replace globalization, where everyone will be equal, and so I think you have very beautifully answered. Thank you very much.
Yeah, in the industrial civilization, in industrial culture, the magnet that attracts people to cluster, to form into a corporate body is the money. It is money that attracts people and hold them together in the orbit so that they all act together as one being. And if you remove money, that formation dissolves overnight. Whereas if you look at the communities that are producing things like Wikipedia or Linux, they are not bound by money at all. They are bound by a higher ideal. It's an evolutionary leap in consciousness.
That was the mother's vision. That was the mother's vision. A world without currency, and you know, ultimately, you know, the financial reforms will be the last one to occur. So hearing you, and you know, your the way you have, you know, related economic reform, one gets you that the future is, you know, right at our door.
Yes, it is already infiltrating.
Yes.
And the way you distinguish between the world that is falling apart and the new world is to see a clustering of people. What binds them together? Is it money? If it is money,
hold on,
you will be dead and gone soon.
I once wrote an article in a journal pleading for spiritual transformation, all those silly things we talk about, and was horrified to find nearly all the other articles in the journal assuming that human nature was unimprovable and trying to find technological ways of escaping from the consequences of the destruction of the technologies wreaking upon us. I was pretty horrified, but they're quite interesting to bear in mind because a lot of people are thinking along these lines. It is a foregone conclusion that this Earth is going to become so polluted that we can't live in it. No problem, we build spaceships and we go to Mars and we terraform Mars so we can start all over again destroying Mars, or go to some other solar system and find a planet there that suits us. Also, one example, another one. Human being is invariably is violent. So what we need to do is build computers which are programmed to be reasonable and let them take over our affairs from us. I mean, these are ideas which belong to the past age, I think, but which are being promoted as the only way we can save ourselves. And I don't know whether to laugh or cry. It's better to laugh, I think.
It is true, we have to deal with people who live in nightmares. Their imagination is rooted in fear. Large number of people are bound by fear, and the resultant imagination is equally dreadful. And it is a psychological problem. And there is no cure other than creating the alternate world.
You have raised a very, very important point. But you know that the human nature, when it is to be, you know, changed, something superior precipitates, and then, you know, the something evolves out of the earth. So I think this superior, the evidence of this superior pressure is being built, as we have seen here, maybe what may be called supramental consciousness. So it is already there now, pressing the earth. So all this violence and everything is coming up. But you know, with evolution, firstly something from above comes, that is, you know, this pressure, and then probably, you know, it will release the new consciousness in the ordinary man also, but till that time he'll remain violent. But this evidence of this transformation is coming from above. This kind of new consciousness which is now entering from above will, of course, you know, it will be responded by probably, you know, the growth in the consciousness of man as well. But it will take time.
Involution has begun.
Yeah?
Involution
supramental consciousness has descended, and now it has to sprout out of the man. So one evidence has been produced and beautiful.
I just wanted to say that one has to distinguish between the tool and the human being that uses the tool. If we're talking about a computer, it's no different from a kitchen knife. You can use a kitchen knife to cook, you can use a kitchen knife to kill somebody. The computer can do it on a larger scale, perhaps, but basically whether it's good or bad depends on who is using it. This has very little to do with the computer itself. The computer is not taking us over unless somebody using the computer wants to take us over. So the idea of the consciousness is quite independent of what the computer is doing. The computer is simply a tool. It can't take us over.
No, but this tool is reflecting what is going on in human psyche.
Of course, and that is independent of the computer.
Expansion, because of the change in the psyche, he is using the tool that way.
That's right. So that is independent of the computer.
Yeah, of course it is a tool.
We can stop. 12:35.
You made us very meditative.
Thank you.